On May the 1st, 2008, I was standing in the Cannon Building on Capitol Hill. The Cannon Building is where many, many congressmen have their offices. And I was there for the National Day of Prayer. I joined others as we stood and sang, God bless America. Precious one, could God bless America and judge it at the same time? We want to talk about that as we look at God's precepts for life. Have you forgotten the words, or can you remember, God bless America, land that I love? And it says, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. God bless America, stand beside her, guide her with the light from the word, from what is above. God is light. And yet, you know what? So many in America don't want to have a thing to do with God. Or maybe I should change that to say so many vocal people in America are saying that we don't want anything to do with God. We want God left out of the equation. Precious one, you can never leave God out of the equation because God is the one that puts the equation together. And you and I have to understand. And I thought as I stood there in the Cannon Building that day and saying, God bless America. God, are you going to bless us by judging us, or are you going to bless us by bringing revival? We're looking at America at the crossroads. We're looking at this nation, looking at two different paths to take. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow way that leads to life and the blessing of God. And the Bible says there are few that take that narrow way. And yet I believe that those of us that take the narrow way, those of us that fear God, those of us that know God, those of us that live according to His statutes, according to His precepts for life, according to His commandments, those of us that fear God can be used of God to stop the judgment of God. America. Now, if God judges us, is that bad for us? Not if it brings us to our knees. Not if it causes us to repent, to have a change of mind about who God is, and a change of mind about how we are to fear God. To fear God means to respect Him. It means to trust Him. It means to acknowledge God for who He is, and then order our lives accordingly. If you've been around for any length of time, you know this, beloved. You know that America has turned its back on God. America has been unfaithful. America has sinned against God. And as we look at Ezekiel chapter 14, we come to a very in-your-face, startling statement in the book of Ezekiel. Because this is a book that was written to Judah and Jerusalem. This is a book of God's justice and God's judgment and God's deliverance of His people. But the judgment and the justice of God in bringing that judgment happens before the deliverance comes. And so you think, okay, Ezekiel only belongs to the nation of Israel. But if you have downloaded your free study guide, if you are staying ahead of me, if you are moving through the text of Ezekiel chapter 14, you've already seen that God is talking to any country that sins, And then God talks to Israel. You say, how do I get that free study guide? I want you to get it. I want you to be part of this ministry. I want you to be an active listener. So go to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com. But if you cannot contact us on preceptsforlife.com, if you don't have a computer, then pick up the phone and call 1-800-763-1990. That's 1-800-763-1990. We want to hear from you because we want you to hear from God. We want you to discover truth for yourself. We want you to go deeper into that truth. And then we want you in turn to disciple others. To disciple others is to call them to be a follower of God, to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who is the only way to God. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 14, remember, we read verse 12 and 13, and it says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, the word of the Lord has come to Ezekiel because these elders who have set up idols in their heart, who have put stumbling blocks before their faces, have come to God and said, God, I want to hear from you. And yet they had idols in their hearts. They had stumbling blocks of iniquity. And iniquity is sin. It's rebellion. It is crossing the line. It is rebelling against what God has said and what He has written. And yet they want to hear from God. So He talks to them and He tells them that they need to repent. And then God turns to a broader audience. He's turning to you and He's turning to me. And He's saying, Son of Man, if a country sins against me, a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness. Now, I want to ask you a question. Has America sinned against God? Has America committed unfaithfulness against God? Well, let me just tell you some of the concerns that are in our nation. One of the concerns is poverty. The other concern is the personal debt of individual Americans. The other concern is HIV/AIDS. Now, let's just stop and think about this third concern because it is the concern of 76% of the population, according to Barna's research that was done January 21st in the year 2008. When a nation is immoral, and Romans 1 says this, then God allows them to reap in their flesh the due penalty of their error. And so what you have is you have sexually transmitted diseases as part of the consequences of us choosing to rebel against God. Now, when you go on down and you look at what this research says, it says one third of Americans said that they were significantly concerned about the activists, 35%, and the same proportion felt lifestyles were of a major concern. And so what kind of lifestyles is he talking about? He's talking about homosexuality. He's talking about lesbianism. And I would add to that adultery, fornication, just sexual immorality, inclusive of everything from sex with children to sex with animals to everything that the Word of God describes. This is what we're involved in. We are a nation that is hooked on pornography. Has this nation sinned against God? Yes, because God says thou shalt not commit adultery. God says that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. God tells us that we are not to covet another man's wife or another woman's husband. God tells us that Jesus said it, those that keep on looking at a woman in his with his eyes, to commit adultery with her in his heart, is guilty of that. God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that if you don't agree with this, you're not disagreeing with man, you're disagreeing with God. So you just look at the area of sexual immorality and we are in trouble. And we're going to hit all these things in this series, America at the Crossroads. But I just want you to see that we are a nation that has sinned against God. We are a nation that has committed unfaithfulness against God. I told you in a previous program that I went to the White House, and I'm sorry, I went to the Capitol building. And at that Capitol, I walked through that rotunda and I listened to David Barton as he told the history of America, as he shared with us the fear of God, the respect of God that was in this country at one time. And we have lost the fear of God. We have lost the respect of God. There's a marvelous book, and it's called America's God and Country. And it is an encyclopedia of quotations. Listen to what George Washington said in his inaugural address. The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Now, this is the founding father, so to speak. This is the first president of the United States of America. This is that famous general that was spared by God, whose life was spared in the most incredible way. Listen to what Benjamin Franklin said in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention, when they were laying out the Constitution of the United States of America. By the way, do you know what the Constitution says? Each one of you ought to have a little, the size of anything that would fit into a man's pocket. That is the Constitution of the United States, so that you understand what this country is based on and so that you are not led astray. But he says, I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning. Benjamin Franklin was deemed a deist. It wasn't that he was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, and yet he had a fear of God. He knows what happens when a country sins against God. I want you to know. I want you to understand, because America is at the crossroads. And don't miss what you're about to hear. Girls, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I know that life is really demanding right now and that there are lots of pressures. And what I do every day is I cry, help, Lord. I want to be the woman you want me to be in this situation. And I'm sure that that's the way you feel. I say, help, Lord. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. Well, that happens to be the title of our women's conference. It's coming October 21st through the 23rd. And we want to invite you to come. I can see you and eat with you and have fellowship with you and open the Word of God along with other women who have been in all sorts of varied situations. We're going to teach you the Word of God, and we're going to bring you, I pray, into a relationship with God that will strengthen you for the days ahead. Come and join us. I would love to put my arms around your neck. America is at the crossroads. And that's what this series is about. It's about America, and it's about you, beloved. Because so many times when we look at America, I know that we can feel absolutely impotent. We think there's no way that I can do anything about the deplorable moral state of this nation. And there is a way. The way is for you to be righteous. The way is for you to introduce others to righteousness. The way is for you to get on your knees and to seek God, to cry out to God. We have America at the Crossroads prayer meetings going on all around this nation. It is a grassroots movement that people have caught the vision, have seen the essence of the times, have understood the times, like the sons of Issachar in First Chronicles. It says the sons of Issachar understood the times and they knew what to do. And so people are gathering all over America for America at the Crossroads prayer meetings. They are meeting every Thursday at 12 noon, either from 12 to 12:30 or 12 to 1, to beseech God on behalf of this nation, to hear that God is a righteous and holy God and that we need to repent, to confess the sins of this nation, to seek His face, to humble ourselves, to pray, and to come together collectively asking God for a great awakening. Now, you read about those great awakenings in books on revival, and you see that what happens is when God's people begin to pray, and sometimes it's just like one or two. I remember reading the story of these two sisters that were praying and praying and praying for revival. And one of them said, God, if you don't answer, I've been praying so long and my sister's been praying so long for revival. If you don't answer, I'm not going to speak to you again. I mean, that's grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar and not letting go, isn't it? And do you know what? From those prayers came a great awakening. Oh, beloved, don't ever think that you are impotent before God. When we look at Ezekiel chapter 14, it says in verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, if a country sins against me. Now, what I do with every reference to sin is I color it brown. But if you want to put a symbol over it, you can put a symbol like a serpent with its tongue coming out, because the serpent is the father of lies. I mean, he is the classic sinner that holds the whole world, lies in the power of the evil one. So you need to mark it. You need to see if a country sins against me. It's against God that we're sinning by committing unfaithfulness. And I, God, stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast. So what is the judgment that he is bringing? The judgment that he is bringing is the judgment of famine. It's the judgment of food that is unaffordable or unattainable. You know, it was so interesting to me because I picked up, when I travel and stay in hotels, they leave USA Today in front of my door. And I picked this up and I saved it for you because I wanted you to see it. And it says, tension in Egypt shows potency of food crisis. Tension in Egypt shows potency of food crisis. Peace and stability at risk amid anger in the Arab nation and beyond. Now, you look at this issue, and what do you see? You see the talk of famine. They're fighting over bread because there wasn't enough grain. Do you know what happened in the United States of America? in the year 2008. Do you know all of a sudden the price of rice just, I mean, it hit a all-time high. Rice, a basic commodity. Because there was a fear. There was a scare. So God is talking about sending famine against a country. Now, remember, I was talking to you about the concerns of America. This is from Barna Research, January 21st, 2008. Got it off the internet. And it says, Americans are troubled by a diverse palette of concerns. You know what a palette is? If I'm painting a picture, I have this wooden thing and I have all these different colors. And he says, America is concerned because this palette has different things on it that is causing them concern. Three types of issues are of particular concern, perceived as major problems facing the country. Now listen, by three-quarters of the population. Three-fourths of the population. What are they concerned about? Those included poverty. Poverty. Because of poverty, you cannot afford the necessities of life. The personal debt of individual Americans and HIV AIDS. And so what you see that there is a concern of poverty. Well, poverty and famine are connected. And when famine comes, the first ones to feel the effects are those that cannot pay the price of rice, those that cannot buy the staples. You say, God surely is not behind poverty. Well, let me take you very quickly to the book of Haggai. And in the book of Haggai, God is telling them to consider their ways. In verse 6 of chapter 1, you have sown much, but you harvest little. But there is not enough to be satisfied. In other words, there's famine. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but it's not warm enough. He who earns wages to put in a purse with holes. He says, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I, God is speaking, called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the vines, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men and cattle and all the labor of your hands. If a country sins against me, God says, and I send famine against it. He says, you know, the only ones that are going to survive are the righteous. He says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the midst of that country, they could only deliver themselves. Oh, beloved, oh, beloved, you, if God is going to bless America, you have got to be a Noah, a Daniel, a Job. You've got to be a righteous man, a righteous woman. Do you know that you're loved? Do you know that you are appreciated? Do you know that I am so thankful for you? Thank you for studying the Word of God. Thank you for coming alongside this ministry. Thank you for helping us get the Word out. Thank you for not just being takers, but thank you for being participators. Thank you for helping us through your gifts and through your prayers, and both are necessary. Just prayer's not going to do it, but we need the prayers and we need the gifts if we're going to continue to get this word out to people. And you know what? There are many, many people that are being used of God on television and they're doing a good job. There are others, honestly, that are shysters, that are manipulating you and tickling your ears. But it is my goal and my passion to be used of God. And it's Precept Ministries International. It's not just me. It's our whole team. It's our men that are outstanding teachers, and our women, and our son David, and that are intent on helping you be a true follower of Jesus Christ, helping you to be a true student of the Word of God. And as we bring today to a close, I just want to ask you to get on the phone, to get on email and tell people about what you're watching and call them to prayer and tell them to go to preceptsforlife.com so that we can come together to beseech God, because Ezekiel says if a country sins against God and then God begins his judgment. We're going to talk about that judgment in the next program. But God says, if I bring that judgment, I want you to know that only the righteous will survive. Only the righteous will be delivered. And that's why you and I have to get beyond ourselves. We're not here for ourselves. We are here to glorify God. We are here to serve God. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that God has ordained for us to walk in. And part of those good works is that you and I help others be established in the Word of God, to help others discover truth for themselves, to go deeper, to disciple others. And that's what I'm asking you to do as a faithful child of God. See you in the next program.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.